At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In the 9 o'clock hour, we go 9:08. Jake Madison joins us, host of Locked On Pelicans, to talk about some of the prospects Pelicans could be looking at in the draft and some of the big offseason questions. How you doing, Jake?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Let's talk about the draft and the lottery that happened, where the Pelicans came in. Recap for people that lost track, all of that.
Yeah, it was a little bit of a disappointing night. The Pelicans looked like they were in position to have a top four pick. They ended up falling since the lotteries for those top four spots. Three teams behind them got lucky. The Pelicans didn't. So instead of landing the 1, 2, 3, or 4 pick, they fell all the way down to 7. But it's still a pretty good draft, and they're going to be able to get an impactful player at that spot, I think.
What about the draft class and who would be available at that point, and how does that match up with who's available and who the Pelicans need or what the Pelicans need?
Yeah, I think when you look at this and kind of the top end of the NBA draft lottery, which the Pelicans are still picking in, the general consensus on strategy for that is you just go with, like, best player available, the guy who has the highest ceiling, who could become maybe the best player of the ones available to you at that time, the guy that could be an all-NBA kind of guy, rather than drafting for fit, since it's such a player-driven league and you only have 5 guys out on the court and they can have such an outsized impact on offense and defense. It's a little bit different than the NFL draft, where maybe you go with a positional fit, try and fill a hole that you have. Here, I think the Pelicans are just going to go with whoever kind of falls to them at that spot. And the good news is, this is a good draft. Last year's draft was not thought of very highly. You saw teams kind of trying to trade back, trying to get future draft assets. This is one where I think you're going to see a lot of teams trying to maneuver up draft boards to try and get some of these impactful players. So while Cooper Flagg of Duke is going to be the number one overall pick here, and the Pelicans aren't choosing from one of the top 2 or 3 prospects, they're in a good position to get guys that will impact winning at the next level, at the NBA level, pretty quickly, I think. You know, they're probably going to be looking at guys like Trey Johnson, a guard from Texas, who's going to be maybe the best scorer from this draft class. That dude's just a walking bucket. And in the NBA, when it's an offensive-driven league that you're seeing right now, you need those kind of guys that are just instant offense, can create their own shot and go and score. And Trey Johnson is a guy that can definitely do that. He's got really good size for the guard position, too, and the Pelicans need to just get a little bit bigger, a little bit taller. So that's someone that I think they're going to be looking at to kind of pair with Zion Williamson as his running mate and go-to score. You also have a guy, Con Knipple, out of Duke, a kind of do-it-all wing, a la Trey Murphy, similar to that, but a little bit shorter. He's the type of guy that's going to come in and be able to make threes immediately at the NBA level. And if you're looking to build around Zion Williamson still, you need more shooting there, and Con Knipple might be the best shooter in this draft class, I think. Go ahead.
Well, hang on. Remember where you were, because you said if you're looking to build around Zion Williamson, are they?
You know, it seems like it so far. You know, I think they did send a bit of a message on lottery night when Zion Williamson was the player up there representing the team. You can pick anyone you want. You see owners up there. You see front office people up there sometimes, and each team gets one representative. and it was Zion Williamson. I don't think you put him out there if you're still actively looking to trade him. I don't think it's, you know, 100% guaranteed that he's back next year, but I think that's a pretty good sign that he is still part of the Pelicans' future, if just for this upcoming season.
Where were you before I interrupted you?
I think we're looking at more guys in the draft, right?
Yeah,
so,
right.
You know, despite the fact that they took a center in Eve Misi last year with their first round pick, you know, this is a team that I still think needs to upgrade their front court, whether it's a power forward spot or the center position. And there's some interesting guys in this draft to be able to do that. You have Kamen Malawach from Duke, who's 7'2", who's probably one of the biggest players in this draft. And when you look at the Pelicans division, where there's Victor Wembanyama, the former first overall pick a couple of years ago, or Zach Edey, or someone like Alperen Şengün with the Houston Rockets, you're going to need a good big center to be able to handle those guys that you are playing four times per year. So they could go in that direction. There's Derek Queen from Maryland, a center who had a really good tournament run, who looks like he could be a stretch five, so a center that shoots threes a little bit. That's something they've never really been able to put around Zion Williamson. So despite falling and it being a little bit disappointing, they're in a good position to kind of go any direction and still get a very good player.
What have you seen from Joe Dumars since he's taken over, or changes the team, or at least changes in things, the way things are being operated?
You know, I think he's just coming in and bringing in a different mentality to this team, at least right now. I think, you know, he's still in that early on stage of trying to understand the culture of the organization, trying to figure out who's staying, who's going, those sorts of things. So it's been a little bit quiet in that sense, but I can tell you who's met with, you know, as many players as possible, all the coaches and coaching staff, as they start to kind of get everyone on the same, you know, bus going in the same direction for the future of this franchise. But I think you're seeing him bring a more toughness mindset to this team than what they've had maybe in the past, where I think you're going to see more things like a little bit of tough love, you know, tough conversations with certain folks. And I think that's the type of shakeup that this team needs, you know, right now after the David Griffin era. And I think that's a big reason why that he was hired, that they knew he could have these kind of conversations, that he's going to be able to step in and just command respect from people within the organization with his track record as both a player and an executive, and even his time with the league office. So it's been a little bit quiet in terms of things, but now that we're getting kind of deeper into draft scouting, you're going to hear a lot more rumors. Things are going to start heating up. And in the NBA in general, it seems like it's going to be a very chaotic and busy offseason, and the Pelicans certainly are going to be a part of that.
If Willie Green was going and anywhere, he would have gone already. Accurate?
Not necessarily. I think I agree with you that yes, it seems like they would have made a decision on that already, and it seemed like he was going to be safe in the first place on it. And given that he's under contract next year, it's not like they need to come out and tell him publicly state that he still has a job. There's no reason to do that when he already has the job. So I think there's a reason you haven't heard all of that, but it really is going to be up to Joe Dumars. And I think he's still doing a little bit of the fact finding when it comes to this franchise and talking with people and trying to learn more about what's going on. So as he's going through that process, things could change, but I'd say right now it seems pretty certain, but not 100% certain, that Willie Green is back next year.
I want to talk about salary cap and impactful free agents and so forth. I'm getting text here from different numbers over and over talking about Zion a waste, this, Zion's not going to this, not going to that, can't do that. People can feel however they want, but if Zion comes back, can Joe Dumars make a difference in him, or is it just going to be Zion is Zion?
You know, that's the big question, right? And I think Joe Dumars being able to, you know, I mentioned it a moment ago, being able to command respect is a really important thing to consider here of maybe that's the guy that can get through to Zion Williamson. And when you look at David Griffin's tenure here, look, everyone has draft hits or misses, good free agent signings, bad free agent signings, good trades, bad trades. You can dissect all of that stuff. The biggest failure for the David Griffin era was just not being able to connect with Zion Williamson in a way that he needed to, you know, that rookie year. And that created some very real, let's call it friction between Zion and the organization for a number of years. And how did that impact Zion's trajectory or him becoming kind of the consummate professional that you need him to be? And I think that's a big part of why this Zion era has been very mixed at best and certainly not had the success that you want to see with the team here. So it's really going to be Joe Dumars coming in, and his first order of business needs to be to try and get through to Zion Williamson, get buy-in like you've really never seen before. And you started to see more of that buy-in from Zion, you know, the past couple of years, even really this year, where you saw him trying more on defense than you've ever seen him before. But if Joe Dumars can get through to him and kind of have him reach his potential, the team could be very good here in New Orleans, because Zion is that special of a player. But there's also reasons to think maybe it's just not going to happen, or if it hasn't happened by now, you know, it's not going to. And so that's the kind of the big risk that you're taking by rolling the dice on him for another year. And if you're looking to trade him, you've got to kind of try and figure out, when can I get the most value for him? And if he only plays 30 games next season, that value is going to be lower when you're trying to get, you know, trade him and get a good return for him. So there's risks associated with this. And this kind of how it goes in pro sports, I guess.
So tell me what that looks like, getting through to him or getting buy-in from him, considering, you know, as people are texting me, he's getting paid gazillions of dollars. I don't understand. How do you get somebody to buy in? I don't get it. Help me out.
You know, that's kind of the big challenge here. And you see this, right? You know, these players come into the league, some of them 18, 19 years old, and are immediately making $50+ million. And Zion was probably coming in, you know, as one of the most hype rookies we've seen in a very long time, with his, you know, NBA salary plus the endorsements that he's getting. If you're getting $50 million a year at age 18, I don't know if I would be taking my full-time job that seriously either, necessarily, and might be doing some other things here. So I think that's kind of one of the issues here. You heard Joe Dumars talk about this at his introductory press conference, where he's like, we can all see who the player is, how high you jump, what are you good at, can you shoot, can you score, those sorts of things. You know, but he said, I've got to understand the person. And does that person want to be great? Do they want to come in work day in, day out and do all of that? I don't know if that's something that you can necessarily get to, like, click for someone, and that's got to be more of an internal process. But maybe it's, you know, explaining how his career is going and it's not the way that he wants. And we've seen Zion lose some minor endorsement deals and things like that, that, you know, the lack of playing and the lack of stuff that you're doing off court is going to impact you in other ways that you don't want. And maybe that's how they kind of get through to him. But you would hope that, you know, the money, being what it is, should be motivating enough, but that's just not always the case.
If you're sitting on $50 million, 20 years old, I guess it is hard to push yourself, maybe. I don't know. Let's talk about salary cap and impactful free agents.
Yeah, you know, the Pelicans aren't going to be big players in free agency this offseason. Their salary cap is, let's call it tight, I think, a little bit restrictive, where this is one of two franchises in NBA history that's never paid the luxury tax. Them and the Charlotte Hornets here. And it doesn't look like they're going to really be a team that's going to do that this season either, given that they'll be competitive if they're healthy, but they don't look like a title-winning team, let's say. So they're going to be kind of limited in what they can do this offseason, unless it's through a trade. You know, keep an eye on someone like Chris Paul. You know, and a nice little homecoming return for him here, I think, would be really great to see at the end of his career. The Pelicans have their mid-level exception available. It's going to be in the range of about, you know, a 2 or 3 year contract worth at around $13.5 million or so per season. That's likely enough to bring Chris Paul back to New Orleans in terms of just the money here. And the Pelicans need a point guard. They traded for DeJounte Murray from the Atlanta Hawks last offseason. That was their big offseason move. And unfortunately, he tore his ACL in January, meaning he's likely, but not guaranteed, to miss the start of the regular season. You need someone to kind of fill in for him during that time until he comes back healthy. A Chris Paul return could really be a nice thing to see, and putting, you know, still an elite point guard next to Zion Williamson would be a great thing. Chris Paul, despite being 39 or 40, played all 82 games last season. Someone who just plays that much is a very good addition to New Orleans, I think.
Real quick word about Locked On Pelicans.
Yeah, wherever you get your podcasts, we're covering all sorts of everything when it comes to the NBA draft. So player, prospect, you know, previews, reviews, all of that. Breaking down who they could be at the NBA level, looking at potential trades the team could do. It's on YouTube and wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it. Jake Madison, host of Locked On Pelicans. We'll take a break, come back, talk to Dr. Judy Ho, Clinical and forensic neuropsychologist, is it better to keep your kids on a regimen and schedule during the summer, or should you just let them relax and recharge while school's out? How do you handle it with your kids? How did your parents handle it with you? And how are your kids handling it with your grandkids? 504-260-1870, Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line. Love to hear from you. Tommy Tucker back in a flash, WWL. School's out for the most part for summer, and that means what do you do with the kids? What do you do with the grandkids? I'd like you to text into the Oakland Art Jeweler Talk and Text Line, 504-260-1870. What do you plan for your kids? What are your plans, and what did your parents do with you during the summertime? Dr. Judy Hoke joins us, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast, author of several books. How you doing, Dr. Judy?
Pretty good, Tommy. How are you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about, I was trying to remember in preparation for this what I did during the summer, and I can remember that I played a lot of golf because we would buy monthly tickets to play at Brechtel, which was a golf course that used to be here. And then I know I work changing tires and pumping gas. I don't know exactly how that goes together. Maybe I would do one in the morning, one afternoon. I don't know. Do you remember exactly what you did when you were a kid?
Well, yeah, we had tons of activities, but I know that everybody's experience is different. We had a ton of structured stuff. So I was in a lot of music programs, and I was also in auxiliary for the marching band, and I was in a ton of sports. So it was always busy. My parents even at some point enrolled me in Saturday Chinese classes. I mean, I don't know. So I just had a lot of structured activities, both in the summer and during the school year.
So how have things changed, I guess? Is there any data that shows it's better to have kids do one or the other? Does it come down to how many kids are in a family? How are the kids themselves, et cetera? How do you determine that?
Well, I guess in general, we know that some structure is good for kids. You know, they do need structure even in the summertime, but it doesn't have to be imposed structure by somebody outside of the family. It can be structure that you as the parent or the caregiver decides that they're the rules that they're going to abide by. So, you know, one really easy one that I think parents can consider doing is, you know, it's tempting just to say, okay, it's summer, so like everybody can wake up late and, you know, they can stay up late and et cetera. But I think in general, especially Monday through Fridays, you kind of have to keep them to a structure in terms of wake up times, bedtimes, you know, chores that they might have to do in the morning, things like that. On the weekends, of course, you can have some treats and say, well, no, this is going to be something that we can do on the weekends, stay up late, you know, have a little less structure maybe. But I think it's important to not necessarily teach your children that lack of structure is a type of reward.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Attention sports enthusiasts. Keep the adrenaline pumping and elevate your game day with Chumba Casino. It's completely free to play. No purchase necessary. Whether you're cheering from the stands, on the move, or relaxing at home, Chumba Casino brings the thrill of social casino directly to your fingertips. Experience the ultimate social casino adventure with reels of casino-style games offering hundreds of exciting options to choose from and fresh new releases every week. There's always something new and thrilling to explore. From action-packed social slots and classic blackjack to engaging bingo and solitaire, the fun never stops. Plus, enjoy generous daily login bonuses and a fantastic free welcome bonus to kickstart your social gaming journey. Dive into the excitement. Discover a world where you can play for your chance to redeem some serious prizes and have a blast along the way. Don't miss out. What are you waiting for? Join now and immerse yourself in nonstop fun and adventure with Chumba Casino. Get in on the action today at ChumbaCasino.com and make every day a Chumba day. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Word. So staying up late can be a reward, but like sort of like, oh, having an open day where you can do whatever you want and play video games for 10 hours, it's important to not necessarily let your children think that that is a good thing. Like, don't make that a prize that they get to win on the weekends. And then I think from there, it just really depends. Some families will enroll their kids in summer camps. It also helps the adults, right? They can have their time to themselves or they have to work. But other parents will just take their kids on a number of different activities around town. There's a lot of free and low-cost activities usually in most neighborhoods. And I think that it's just more important that you continue to expose them to social interactions as well as educational opportunities.
Somebody wants to know about taking a vacation out of town. Is there any data that indicates that's a good thing or a bad thing for kids, or it all depends?
Yeah, I mean, again, it depends on the kind of child that you have, but I think that in general, taking a family trip is always good because it's opportunity to get out of town, to learn some new things, to be exposed to new cultural ideas, just, you know, giving them a different view on life. And so I think in general, those are good, as well as it's time for the family to be together. And that's always a positive thing.
When it comes to reading list and school assignments and so forth, it seems as though it changed, because I don't recall having a reading list when I was in school. Now it seems as though the schools are actively involved. Somebody texted and said, is it best to get the reading list out of the way early on or save it for the end of summer so they get in a mood to go back to school? Thoughts on that?
Yeah, I definitely think that it's helpful to kind of dose it along the summer. So obviously a lot of families will say, well, it's probably best if we can just give them the first couple of weeks, like just give them that reward because they've worked hard all school year. I think that's fine. But I think after that, it's good to just start to knock out one book a week or whatever, you know, the pace should be. Because when you push it all to the end of the summer, then it becomes this real drag, first of all. But also you as a parent start to get stressed out. They start to get stressed out. Like, oh my gosh, I still have five more books to read and I only have a week and a half. I mean, it's just, I don't think that that's very conducive to them, one, learning from the reading, but two, I think it actually adds unnecessary stress for the entire family.
What would your advice be for a single parent who goes off to work and the kid's at home and they don't want the kid laying in bed till noon? Although, I got to tell you, I also remember, as I say that, staying up all night watching television and then, you know, going to get a po' boy, a sandwich for lunch at noon for breakfast, and then staying up the whole night again. And I guess I turned out okay. But I was a free range child. What would you say to parents that are not home and they have to have some kind of schedule for their kids or whatever?
Yeah, you know, I think that when you're a parent who's not home, then, you know, whoever is helping you with childcare in the day, whether it's that you have a family member, a nanny over, et cetera, I think it's just important to communicate to the person who's watching your children during the day what your expectations are for structure. Like, okay, they have to get up by this time, they have to make their bed by this time, then they get some free time before lunch, but lunch needs to happen between this hour and this hour. I found that it's really helpful to have a visual tool up for that, especially if you have multiple people taking care of the child. So what I'm talking about is just something that's on the refrigerator that shows them what times they're supposed to do things each day. You know, it can be a paper calendar, whatever, so that not only the caregiver can be referring to that, but also the child can, and it gives them a sense of structure. So we actually started doing that recently with Luca. He's 3 and a half, And we put his daily schedule up in on this little whiteboard in his room. And he really likes it. He likes to run to it and see what he's doing that day. And it also helps to structure him and say, okay, well, we have this class at 2 o'clock, so we have to start getting ready at 1 o'clock and have your lunch, et cetera. And so I think it can be helpful to have those as anchors.
3.5 already. Time flies, huh? Man, I'm telling you.
I know.
Somebody texted and said they have a problem because, and I'm going to combine this because it's kind of long, but basically the daughter had problems with cliques in school, and they want the daughter to be social during the summertime, but they don't want the daughter to suffer with the clique problem that they had during the school year. You got any advice there, Dr. Judy?
Yeah, it's so tough. You know, cliques are just, I think, a part of upbringing in general. It's going to happen from time to time, but sometimes your child will be in the clique and other times they might be out of the clique. So that's hard. I would say if it's possible to expose them to a different social group, just to kind of loosen that clique idea for a little bit, it would be nice. So if there was another social activity where they could participate with new kids in the community, not necessarily the ones that they go to school with, it can just really help to have a reset for them and also restore their self-esteem, because kids' self-esteem take a really hard hit when they feel like they're not included. You know, that's also at a time when you really care to be included, right? Like in those teen years, that's kind of a developmental task. It's really what kids are more thinking about, more so than, you know, when they're adults. I mean, I think by the time that people are 20, 30, 40, you may still care, but a lot of people tell me like they grow out of that feeling of having to be included in everything. Or sometimes they're saying, you know, it doesn't matter to me that much because I know who my people are and they always include me. So I don't really care to always be included at the clique at my work or at the clique at the gym. It's like, it's fine because I have my friends and I feel confident in that. But I think in the early teen to teen years, that's when you really care and you want to be accepted by everyone, but you don't recognize that that's an impossible task. You're never going to be liked by everyone. But again, the teen mind doesn't know that, you know, so I think that's when it can be the most difficult. And that's why it's important to expose them to different social groups and rotate among them if you can.
Is there an age where it's appropriate for kids to work?
You know, I know a lot of kids who do high school kind of internship or first job type of programs through their school. And I did one of those. And I actually think that it can be really helpful just to get them exposed to this idea of having to have responsibility outside of the house. I think that sometimes if it's happening inside the house, it's like kind of conflictual, like, oh, mom, oh, dad, I don't want to do these chores. Don't tell me to do X, Y, Z or help you with your job. But it's different, right? It's really different when it's coming from outside. And also, they do earn a small amount of money, even through these high school training programs, because it's actually still a job. And that can instill a sense of pride. It's also a great way to start teaching financial literacy. And I would say that the age, probably 15 to 16, that's when the program started at our school. So I remember that my first job. Do you remember, Tommy, the Miller Outpost stores? That was my first job working at Miller Outpost.
No.
It's kind of like a Gap, but not as fancy as Gap.
A Miller Outpost. I don't recall.
They sold a lot of t-shirts and flannels back in the day. I mean, I was in high school in 1993 to 1997. So, you know, that was what was in back then, I guess.
It tells me here that it was operated primarily
day-to-day clothes.
Operated primarily in the Western United States. That may be why. I don't know if we had those.
Yeah, that's probably why.
But I'll probably find it on YouTube one day when I look at companies that aren't there anymore. They're not out of business as a result of anything you did, right?
I hope not. Okay. Can you imagine?
Yeah. So along those lines, when it comes to what jobs kids should have, you know, my dad owned a gas station, and then I went to work for an auto retail.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of casino-style games like bingo, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're a parent or share a fridge with someone, Instacart is about to make grocery shopping so much easier. Because with family carts, you can share a cart with your partner and each add the items you want. Since between the two of you, odds are you'll both remember everything you need. And this way, you'll never have to eat milkless cereal again. So minimize the stress of the weekly shop with family carts. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
An auto repair place. I was changing tires and everything else. Probably not the best environment for a kid to be in. I didn't learn a whole lot other than get an education because you don't want to do this work for the rest of your life. Was that a lesson in and of itself, or how protective should parents be when it comes to where they let their child get a job or approve of it?
Yeah, I think that it's important for parents to vet the places that your kid's going to work at, obviously. So if it's not through a vetted program that's vetted by your school, for example, it's important for you to vet the company or the individual or the supervisor who's going to be working with your kid, right? One, you want to know if they're going to be actually supervised and what they're actually going to be doing and if it's going to be worthwhile. But also, and unfortunately, this is just part of life, you know, you can't expect a stranger just to treat your kid well. Sometimes they get bullied by their bosses. Sometimes they get abused by their bosses. And while that's still somewhat of a lower base rate, the biggest thing that prevents that is parental monitoring, right? The fact that the person knows that the parent's kind of hanging around and asking questions, your kid's not going to be as likely to be targeted for anything that is negative if the parent is hanging around for the most part. Doesn't mean that still doesn't happen sometimes to those kids, but just statistically it happens a lot less.
I guess it was a different time. I know I worked in a tire store for a long time, and as a kid in high school and everything else, I don't think I'd want my kid doing that at all, and I don't think that they've changed that much. No disrespect to anybody, I'm just saying. We'll take a break, pick it up with Dr. Judy Ho, when we come back, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Texts are coming in, 504-260-1870, the Oquinar Jeweler Talk and Text Line. How do you handle your kids in summertime and giving them responsibilities? Do you let them just chill out, play video games, watch TV, recharge, or do you keep them busy? 939 Traffic Now, WWL. 946 now, 14 till 10. Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Dr. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. Final week of May, school's going to be getting out. We're talking about ways to keep your kid busy. What's better for him, to keep him busy or to let him just completely recharge and relax and get ready to go back to school in the fall? Dr. Judy, somebody texted in about parents need to carefully vet where they let their kids work because their son went to work at a place, got involved with the wrong people, really changed the course of his life. Thoughts on that?
I hear that, you know, and I think that that's good advice. I do feel like generationally it's been a bit different, but also I think it's just that people didn't talk about it as much. You know, I'm hearing a lot of terrible things that might have happened to people as a result of them getting together with the wrong types of people, learning the wrong lessons, or like I said, even being mistreated or abused in some cases. And I think as a parent, you always do have to, unfortunately, be a bit skeptical about the people that your child is going to be interacting with, and you do have to be involved. You know, sometimes people feel like, oh, well, my kid is pushing back and saying they don't want me to be involved, or, well, I kind of want to be the cool parent and just let them know that they can do whatever they want and I trust them. But it's like, well, their executive functions are not fully developed yet. And they're also at an age where they're soaking up information super fast. And so you do need to vet everybody that they hang out with. And that's not just at work, but it's also the parents of the people that they hang out with, their peers, like really asking questions, getting together with them. It might sound like the most annoying thing ever, but there's just decades of research that suggests parental monitoring is a single thing that parents and caregivers can do to set their child on a good path, both academically and occupationally, as well as in terms of their mental health and their personality development.
And somebody texted in, jobs are good because kids need to learn that there's a boss and there's an employee, and they need what they need to do what their boss tells them to do. And I understand that.
Yeah.
However, you do need to let your kid know that it seems like you could be, in a way, setting them up to be abused there, where it's like, well, just do whatever the boss tells you to do within reason, right?
That's true. Exactly. And so, again, I think this is part of, you know, really working with your child and teaching them, you know, that it's not just a blind obedience. There's obviously respect, but also teaching them to ask questions, you know, teaching them that it's okay sometimes to say, well, please explain to me why you want me to do this in this way. Or no, I think that that's unreasonable, and encourage them to talk to you when they're not sure. I think that a lot of times parents are you know, trying their best to stay on top of their children, but at the same time, you don't know what you don't know, right? So your child sometimes has to be the first to come to you and say, hey, something happened today. I'm not really sure if that's okay. And you have to establish that open communication and trust, and essentially let them know you're not going to get in trouble for asking me a question, or maybe you did make a mistake at work and it led to this interaction. That's all fine. I still want you to be able to come to me when there's trouble.
Are there any... Somebody texted in, and I hate to read the text because I don't want to besmirch an entire industry, but they said all of their kids did this job and that they all wound up with addiction problems as it relates to drugs. Mm-hmm. Are there any areas that are more prone to that than others? Because I hate to read this because I don't want to impugn a whole industry.
Sure, I totally understand. Yeah, and I think that it's just important to know what the culture is in different jobs. Some jobs, they're just, the culture of it is that it's more normalized, you know, for them to, for example, either not only just use drugs, but obviously if you're working in an industry that's helping to produce it in any way, like the alcohol industry, the marijuana industry, of course, there's going to be more risks involved, right? And so I think you do need to know, walk in with, you know, both eyes open, essentially, that, for example, I've had people tell me, you know, their childhood job, working in a specific industry, it's just like part of it was just that after work, they all went out and got drunk, you know, and so it just established and put them at risk early for an alcohol issue, which they ended up developing.
And I guess, in a way, because I'm going back to my own experience here, if you got a 16-year-old kid doing a job, the same job as a 30-year-old, well, the 30-year-old's at a different point in their life than the 16-year-old is, and chances are if the 30-year-old was on the right track, they, generally speaking, probably would be not doing the job that the 16-year-old is doing, right?
Right, yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, why is there such a big difference in terms of the age gap? And I think that that is something to look at. So you're absolutely right about that. And I think that people sometimes have a hard time, you know, maybe distinguishing like what is a good peer or what is a good interaction versus not. But that's why it's so important that parents just continue to ask the questions. If they're starting to get close to a peer at work, inviting that peer over to the house, you know, for something that's casual, like, oh, we're having a barbecue with a few people, like ask them to come over. That's how you can vet some of these people for yourself and decide whether or not you're okay with your child spending a lot of time with this person.
Somebody wants to know if it's better to have the kid pursue an interest that they have already expressed that they like, or try different things so they can see if they really like the area that they think they do.
I think that it's okay for the child and actually encouraging them to try different things. I think that sometimes we can get really locked in and say, oh, okay, well, if they say they like this, I might as well just keep getting them to do it. And of course, that's great too. You should continue to expose your child to something that you know already is something that they enjoy. But I think that people sometimes can get really fixed on that. And they're like, well, that's just what I'm going to do. I don't want to do anything else. And obviously you're teaching them a life skill by exposing them to different things and encouraging them to try different things and saying, hey, it's okay if you don't like it, but let's try. And then if you don't like it after X number of months, you know, set a specific amount of time. And remember that generally things don't become habitual or feel easy until at least 6 to 8 weeks. So it's not really, let's try this for a week. It's like, let's give it a good 2 to 3 months. And if by the end of that time, you still really don't like it, okay, we can switch to something else. And it kind of works out for school, right? It's like, try this for a semester or a year. And if you really don't like it at the end of the semester or the year, we can switch to something else. But I would like you to try it first.
You're reading ahead.
And sometimes people really...
I'm sorry, Dr. Judy, because the text, I want to get this in. Somebody said, if your child has a job and comes home and says they want to quit because they don't like it, listen to them. Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think that, again, if they went to the job for a day or two and they say they don't like it, that's a little bit more suspect. But again, ask questions, right? Just say, okay, well, what don't you like about it? Tell me what's going on with the job that's disturbing you or causing you to say that you don't ever want to go back. And sometimes you've got to listen to them because they're telling you the truth. And they're saying, this is not comfortable for me. There's something going on with the job. I don't like the person I'm working with. And they have really valid reasons. Then you have to respect that. But at other times, it could just be that they don't like it because they're being told what to do. They're trying to get out of responsibility. They're trying to quit early. And if those are the cases, then you have to encourage them to stay the course. And so I think really it's just important to stay open-minded and be willing to adjust. And also sometimes parents, we want our child just to be like us. Like, oh, well, we loved it. What do you mean you don't like it? So try to, as hard as it is, keep your own personal preferences and feelings out of it and just really listen to your child and decide the course from there.
Thank you, Dr. Judy. Very interesting as always. Judy Ho, clinical forensic neuropsychologist, host of the Supercharged Life podcast. We'll talk to you again. When we come back, we'll talk to Dave Cohen, who's in for Newell. We'll find out what he's got planned for us today here on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey, I'm Tank Sinatra here with my co-host,
Investigator Slater.
And we would like to tell you a little bit about our podcast, Psychopedia.
It's true crime infused with comedy.
Making it a crime-ity.
I do extensive investigative research and go deep into the darkest corners of the human psyche.
And I'm just here to lighten things up a little bit with humor, baby. You know, never at the expense of the victims, though, obviously.
Come join our family of little psychos over on Psychopedia. Available on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to your podcasts.